know about you, but I'm so glad to be part of a church where God is still active, where God is still moving, where God is still alive, where he shows up to meet his people, where he shows up to change lives, where people not even plan to have an altar call, salvation call today, and people just prompted by the Holy Spirit to come and to give their faith to Jesus today. Man, I'm so excited about what God's doing to be a part of that. We're here for Vision Night tonight. If you have your Bible, we're going to look at two simple verses in the scriptures to talk about vision. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It's like the go-to vision verse in the Bible. Now, I'm just going to clarify this. If you're turning there, it's a short passage. So if you're not turning, if you're just looking at me while I'm wasting time, there are two little babies right here, two little girls right here who are getting after it. And if they're giving me the best amens tonight, we're going to be here till midnight. So y'all gonna have to pick this up a little bit because I'm excited about it, about where we're at, where we're going. I'm excited that what we did last year was all because of what God did. Like, all the credit goes to God, but a huge thank you goes to so many of you for being obedient to live the life that God has called you to live. And I don't think God's done. I think God's got some big things in store. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint." Vision, by definition, is a clear picture of a preferred future. So we can have vision for lots of things. If we just narrowed that funnel down to vision in our faith with things like reading God's word and engaging in Bible teaching and keeping influencers in your life that keep prompting you and pushing you to be the person God's designed you to be with an ongoing and ongrowing prayer life, we know that God can give us a picture of the preferred version of us that he designed us to be. We believe that supernaturally God through his spirit can give us a vision, a glimpse, a picture of the preferred version of us. I think it's so good to know that God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. And God is a God who doesn't want to keep that secret, who wants to give us a vision, a glimpse, a clear picture of who he designed us to be. So I think a great place to start tonight is to ask you, if you're married, what's the vision that God has given you for your marriage? By the time you get through this next season, what's this vision that you think that God is calling you to? Where do you see relationships in your family 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Where do you see those relationships progressing? Where do you see your physical health by the end of this year? So many people start out the year with New Year's resolutions, right? And by last week, they're done with them. They don't have a clear vision of what they could be, what their health could be by the end of the year. Where do you see you and your faith journey by this time next year? And I'll tell you right now, if we don't have a clear vision of where God is leading us, guiding us, and prompting us, the first time or the second time or the third time we face opposition, it's just too tough. That was an amen if you didn't know. That was really good. The first time or second time we face opposition, we do what the scripture says. Where there is no vision, we cast off restraint. Now, hopefully you've been participating the last couple of weeks. We've been in a church-wide fast. And I love some of you to death, but I think that maybe the devil is prompting you to tempt me in my fast. For the last 2 weeks, people just keep showing up outside my office and dropping off sweets. I'm trying to eat healthy in my fast, and here you are. So here's I just want to give you a visual. Practicing restraint is walking by the snack table and not stopping. Practicing restraint is not looking and going through to see if your favorite cookies are still on the table. Practicing restraint is putting barriers in place so that you will not miss out on the vision, miss out on the action plan, miss out on the commitment or the goal that you've set out for. So when we have no vision, what do? We cast off restraint, which means we could care less about those restrictions. Which means if we cast off restraint, if I don't have a vision for a healthy version of me, if I don't have a vision to fulfill my fast and seek after God like never before, if I don't have a vision for what that looks like on the other end, I will stop at the snack table, I will cast off restraint, and I will eat oatmeal raisin cookies until my heart is content, which it never will be. If we don't have a vision for where God is leading us, we will cast off restraint. If I don't have a vision for where a healthier me looks like, I will get up about 3 days in a row early to go to the gym, and then I'm done. I want to sleep in. I enjoy sleep more than I look good. I think that it's important. We will cast off restraint. It's why so many people that struggle in school, young people, where are you at? It's why so many people that struggle in school do so, because we don't have a vision of how going to school and doing well in school is going to help me in the future. So I don't do my homework. I don't try hard. I barely skate by because I don't see what a future version, preferred version of me is. It's why people get to college and without some restraint from mom and dad forcing them to do homework, struggle that first semester. Where are my college folks at? You know what I'm talking about? Without vision, we cast off restraint. It's why people of faith are so quick to say, I want to do this. And then when the challenge of following Jesus plays out, I cast off restraint. I throw the things to the side that would have helped me to stay on track, to kept me in the alignment of what God has given me to do. But we are so often content just to show up, to go through the motions, for osmosis to apply as we walk into the church and somehow hope that things will get better. Church, can I just assure you that God had specific plans and purposes when he designed and created every atom in your being. And God didn't just stop with creating you with purpose, on purpose, for purpose. God created you and then equipped you with gifts and talents that when you tap into his spirit, you can use those gifts to fulfill every reason he put you on the planet. He built it into our DNA that even non-believers know we belong to something greater than ourselves. We're part of something that will accomplish more than we ever could on our own. But to be real honest, in our country, in our particular part of the country, there is a real comfort culture that flies in the face and opposes this idea of living out our calling from our Creator. That we live a life that we can accumulate enough to just feel comfortable, and we work hard enough and we hustle hard enough that we can just be comfortable, and we have arrived, and so many people forfeit their God-given destiny because we were just settled for being comfortable. Church, can I just reassure you, God is far more concerned about your cause than our comfort. That was a good amen right there. God is far more concerned about our cause than our comfort. No vision is why so many marriages end in divorce. They don't know what their family could look like. No vision is why young people struggle to adopt God's description and dating integrity and regulations for sexual intimacy. No vision is why people are so quick to cast off restraint. I don't see what a good marriage can look like. I don't see myself as a good spouse or in a good, healthy relationship. I don't see myself as part of a healthy family dynamic. Therefore, it's easier just to follow my heart. Young people, where are you at? Don't just follow your heart. It's evil. It'll take you places you ought not ever go. And yet so often we see people that have no vision of the call that God's got on their life to be a husband, to be a wife, to set a family, that they cast restraint off and they date by whatever they're attracted to, whatever their body tells them they want to do, and they get outside the context of what it looks like to date in God's guardrails and boundaries. They date inside God's confines of what a healthy marriage covenant could be, and we miss off. It takes hard work to have a good marriage, and without a vision of what it could be, we cast off restraint. I believe that God has got a vision for you for every important part of your life. And so many people miss out. God's got a vision because your vision gives you the why, and the why is what continues to get you out of bed to go up and go exercise. God's got a vision, and when he gives the vision to you, it becomes the driving force while you put healthy boundaries in your dating lifestyle or when you're with someone of the opposite sex. Those healthy boundaries are what create disciplines in your life. When we get up on Sunday mornings and so many of our peers and our friends and maybe even family, they just want to sleep in on Sunday morning and go watch the game and do something else and not go to church and not make it a consistent habit. And they ask things like, why do you go? And you respond with, because God called me to serve and God called me to lead and God called me to pray and God called me to study and God called me to worship because I know the future of the preferred future that God has set before me. Where there is no vision, where there is no preferred future picture, where there is no clarity of the inside of God's purposes for me, where there is no impact or vision of an impact of what Jesus has done for me, people cast off restraint. The King James Version says it even more strongly. It says, where there is no vision, people perish. Man, that's a powerful statement to the fact of why vision is so important to us. And it may be the biggest challenge for you walking away for tonight is that God is trying to pour his vision into you to show and reveal his vision to you for an important aspect of your life that you just haven't taken time to seek him to see his picture of what that might be. It's not just about being comfortable. It's about conforming to the image of Christ, about following after him, realizing your purpose, seeing the plans that God has placed before you and chasing more after you. But that doesn't end there. The plot thickens. If you're married, if you're part of a family, if you're a co-owner in a business, if you're part of a team, if you're part of a church, then we don't just have a vision. We have to be unified on the same vision. If you and your spouse have two different visions of what your family could be, your marriage could be, your relationship, if we have two different visions in a team, then we have two. Two means die. Die is where we get the word division. Where there are two visions, there is division. Where there are two visions, things are pulled apart. Where there are two visions, teams are torn apart. Where there is two visions, a husband and a wife cannot lead their family in a way where they grow and become more like Christ, and the family suffers as they're pulled in different directions. Two visions lead to division. Jesus is talking Mark chapter 3 and verses 24 and 25, and he says, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, divided, two visions, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Vision simplifies decisions in our life. If this is the preferred future that I'm working toward, this is the steps I'm taking to become more like Christ in this area, it simplifies the decisions that I need to make, whether I need to walk quickly past the snack table or not. Vision simplifies my decisions. Vision creates urgency in my life. It's not in the Bible, it's just an English proverb. It goes like this: the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So many Christians intending to do well, intending to follow after Jesus, intending to get right with God, and yet letting people around them just never hear the good news of who Jesus is. Vision energizes. When you catch the vision, when you become a carrier of the vision that God has placed inside of you through his Spirit, when God gives you that and you catch it, let me just tell you something. I've been around basketball for a long time, and this is Indiana, so we can talk basketball for a minute. If you walk into the rival's gym, you don't need nobody to energize you or motivate you, because you know what it looks like to stand on their court 40 minutes from now going, we beat you. Vision energizes. When we know where we are going, we're going to beat our rival tonight. We come in excited. We came on a focus. We came in ready. Nobody needs a motivational speech for the rivalry. We're ready to go. Vision, it gives us resilience. If we could just confess for a minute, if we're doing a good job of following Jesus, it's hard. Following Jesus is not easy, but he gives us all the strength, all the wisdom, all the power, all the guidance that we need. Sometimes Jesus shows up and transforms our hearts and transforms our minds miraculously, momentarily, boom, transformation happens. But often, Jesus' transformation, it takes time, it takes extra grace, it takes forgiveness, it takes discipline, it takes endurance. And none of those things are easy. But when we receive a vision from God, I'm not talking about pick up a crystal ball, go to sleep tonight and have some animated dream. I'm talking about hearing clearly from the Lord in simplicity of how we follow after him. When I understand what God says of what it looks like to be a man of God, and I catch the vision for how God has described how a man of God should live, then I catch that in my heart. I'm working with urgency. I'm working with intentionality. I'm making decisions. I'm putting up boundaries. I'm keeping my marriage protected. I'm keeping my family protected. I'm keeping my workplace and my mindset protected. I'm living with urgency. I'm living with discipline. I'm living with the things to get to that preferred future that God has shown me. This is who you can be. And it gives me a glimpse of why he put me here. Then everything else changes. For some of you, maybe you've overcomplicated vision. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. You are raising up some world changers right there. And God has given you a vision of what it looks like to raise up some world changers. Well, I'm just going to work to pay the bills for my family. God has put you in a place where you can create some influence in your workplace with your family, with your kids, and with your spouse. And he is training you to be a man of God. Don't sell that short. God gives us a word. We read it in the scripture. He gives us people and people in the scripture and people in our lives to aspire, examples to aspire to. And he grants us full access through Jesus to have all the power, the insight, the wisdom, the direction that we need. I believe that a God-breathed vision is one of the most underrated parts of the Christian walk, because the Holy Spirit has offered us everything we need to see where God is leading each of us. God wants to show you who you're becoming. It's not gonna be this big elaborate plan. Don't confuse that with, well, I've been going to college for 6 years and I still don't know what I'm gonna do. It's not about what you're gonna do. It's about who God's gonna become, who you're gonna become through Christ. It's about the transformation he's gonna do in you, regardless of your career, regardless of the path, regardless of where you live. God wants to do so much more than just that in you. God wants you to see. I believe that he wants to show you who you can become. I believe he wants to show you, to give you a picture of what he wants to do in your life. I believe he wants to give you a picture. He wants to show you how your marriage can turn around. I believe he wants to show you of how he can turn your finances around through the discipline that he gives and wisdom he gives you. I believe he wants to show you what it looks like to be free from hurts, habits, and hangups. I believe he wants to show you what it looks like when Jesus' life impacts your life in tangible ways. I believe he wants to show you the impact that he's already spoken over you that affects your life today and your eternity tomorrow. So I would encourage you before you leave tonight just to seek God in our time of worship and in our time of prayer, that God has a vision for you in every important area of your life, and it may just be tonight's the night that he shows it to you. So three weeks we're fasting, right? So we're 2 weeks into fasting, and it may just be for this last week you need to seek God to see his vision for you. The clear picture of the man or the woman that God is calling you to be. Over the past year, we have had so many people on staff, so many of you, all of us, just seeking God, listening to others, listening to the people that God brings into our life to see and to hear what God is doing in this church. And it has been so incredible to hear so many stories, 107 baptisms, God is moving in people's lives. People even today who were unprompted but yet gave their heart to the Lord at the end of one of our gatherings. God is showing up and moving. We're trying to be obedient to hear the Father, to listen to the instruction, to see his vision, the clarity of the picture that he's preferred for us. And for me, I tried real hard to listen specifically for the instruction God was calling us for this year. The last couple months of last year was a challenging time for me, and it's crazy how sometimes God uses challenging moments to get us to sit down and shut up. And in that time, God really spoke to my heart. Through some pretty unique circumstances, I got to feeling pretty down on myself. I didn't get to go to the gym as much as I'd started the year off and got a little frustrated about not being so active. So in a moment of pity, I started to do a Google search of what are things you can do to just kind of stay active. And I started talking to people that were in the physical fitness world, like, hey, I'm getting lazy and I'm getting kind of bored. What's something I should do? And there was this reoccurring theme that kept coming up and coming up and coming up. You need 10,000 steps a day to stay fit. You need 10,000 steps a day to stay active. You need 10,000 steps to get in every day just to start doing that. And from that, I believe a couple months ago, God started to paint a picture to me of where God is leading our church. Now, maybe 10,000 is a real significant number. Maybe 10,000 was just something that God gave us some clarity to put a target in front of us and something that we can aim at. But I believe in all this conversation and all this prayer and listening and being obedient to God that 10,000 had a pretty significant thing. Now, as we talk about vision tonight, I'm not going to pull out my crystal ball and I'm not going to say, hey, this is thus saith the Lord, and we're going to put it in some stones chiseled and we're going to hold it up in front of the stage. But I believe God has given us a specific direction. And this doesn't change anything. This isn't a new direction to Crossroads. This isn't a huge twist and a shift of moving the ship a different direction. We're going to go off this way. This is just simply, I think, putting a target in front of the very things that God has been calling our church to do. And when I say things like 10,000, it terrifies me. Because the only way that we reach 10,000 of anything is if God shows up and he moves and he's ordained it and he's part of it. So the first one I want to talk about is pretty simple. We talked about this a little bit last year. We did a whole campaign, 40 Days of Kindness. You know this. You know people that have experienced this. The church, the global church, has received a pretty large black eye over the last couple decades. You probably know somebody who's been offended or hurt or deeply wounded by a church, by people at the church, by maybe even an individual at the church. And what happens is when someone gets upset or harmed by one church, we call it a lowercase church, a little c church, an individual church, then the big C, the capital C, the global church, takes the black eye. And we read so many stories and we hear so many stories, and maybe you've experienced so many stories of church people just not being Christ-like to you. Or church people not being Christ-like to other people. And we believe, we said this in the kindness series, we believe that one of the simple, tangible things that we can do to help turn the tide, to help people understand that the church really loves you because Jesus really loves you. That the church really loves our community because Jesus loves our community. We believe that there's simple, tangible things that we can do, and we want to be so kind to the people in our community that it convinces them that Jesus had to be about something. Jesus maybe is actually really the real deal. Jesus maybe does care for me because that's thinking church. Loves me so well and is so kind to me and is so generous to me. I believe that we can complete 10,000 intentional acts of kindness this year. I know it to my core that we can go above and beyond, that we can put our head on a swivel to notice people that God is strategically pulling into our life, that we can seek to go and pursue, that we can go and just be kind to. Think of the impact that would have in our communities if we could just intentionally, not accidentally. I mean, accidental kindness is great. Don't get me wrong. Right place, right time, perfect. Not just random acts of kindness. I'm talking about like, hey, let's go and let's be intentional. Let's go and let's seek God to open a door, to shine a light on someone or something that we can go and we can serve with gladness in our heart and with hard work in our hands. Think of the impact that that would make. Now think about the assumptions that that would undo if this church completed 10,000 acts of intentional kindness this year. It doesn't happen unless God shows up. It doesn't happen without God's guidance. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen if we just put a little more try behind it. This is God moving 10,000 intentional acts of kindness in the year. to show up and to be kind, to look for opportunities to be kind, to work to keep the peace, to work to make the peace. We are Crossroads Community Church, and I don't know about you, I would love to be known in each of our communities is that church is just so stinking kind all the time. Man, what a powerful statement and reflection of who Jesus is. 10,000 acts of kindness this year. The second one, the second concept of 10,000 reasons is a little bit different. Years and years and years ago, amen, good stuff. Years and years and years ago, God gave our church a mission. Mission is different than vision. Mission describes what we do. Mission describes who we do it for. Mission describes our ongoing objective to strive to accomplish. It's our unique assignment that God gave this church. You heard it already tonight, meeting people where they are and helping take their next step with Christ. It's a call to action. But if we aren't careful, our mission can just live in the land of theoretical. If we aren't intentional, that sounds really good. We could all memorize the phrase, we can quote it, we can recite it beautifully, and then not take the actual steps. And there's so many churches that have beautiful mission statements that never walk them out, that never live them out. This is what I believe. I believe that we, that the people of Crossroads Community Church, can take 10,000 steps with Christ over the next 2 years. Now, that doesn't mean that you take 10,000 steps. That means as a church. That might mean for someone we take one or two steps, and somebody might take 22 steps, and someone might take 100 steps. That might be a step closer to meeting Jesus. That might be a step closer to finding out the truth and the gospel of Christ. That might be taking a step to jump in on a Bible study in one of our Bible studies starting in a couple weeks. That might be a step to jump in on our men's retreat weekend later this year. That might be taking a step to trust God with more of your finances. That might be taking a step to share your faith or to learn better how to share your faith. This is crazy. This statistic has been true for like 3 decades, and it's terrifying to me. Over 75% of Christians come to put their trust in Jesus for salvation, take a step to get baptized, and offer a few prayers, and never take another step in their faith journey again. Man, God didn't call us just to stamp our approval card. He didn't call us just to get the get out of jail free card. He called us to be disciples, to chase after him, to chase after him every day. We've said this several times in the last couple series. We are a people who are becoming. We are either becoming more like Christ, or by default, we're becoming more like the world. Everybody is taking a step in one direction. Pre-Christians have a step to take towards Jesus, and brand new followers have a step to take with Jesus, and new believers have a step to take to get baptized, and people who've been baptized have a step to take after that, and long-time Jesus freaks have a step to take with Christ. We can't be complacent just to sit on the sidelines and say, you know what, that sounds so good, meeting people where they are, wherever they are, and helping them take their next step with Christ. What was the next step, last step that you took? How long ago was it the last step that you took? What if we just approached every day, today I take a step with Jesus. Today I start this process over again. Today I choose Jesus. I'm becoming more like you. Not only does taking a step with Christ help us to get closer to God, if God was only concerned about getting us closer to him, he would have scooped us up the day we gave our heart to the Lord and said, you know what, come to heaven. Well, you'll never be closer to me. But we made the decision and he left us here. And if you're still here, it's because God's got plans and purposes for you. And if you're still here and you're working to take steps to become more like Christ, then you're gonna come closer and closer to realizing the very reason that God put you on this planet in the first place. And vision is so powerful. We're working on a plan this year, but by this fall, by the time we kick off our fall plan, every person at Crossroads will be able to understand specifically, here's where I am in my faith journey, and here's the next step I'm working on. And when I take that step, now here's where I am in my faith journey, and here's the next step that I'm working on. And now that I'm here, here's the next step that I'm working on, and here's the next step that I'm working on, because I believe until we see the Father face to face, God has a next step for us. Not just about how close you can get to God, but about how we reach people, how we help people find Jesus, how we help people find freedom, how we help people find healing, how we help people be equipped to go and do the work of the church, how we help people be more and better and be better and more, how to make more and better disciples for the kingdom. Our responsibility, Jesus tells us, is to go and to make disciples all the nations, which starts right here in our community. And I believe that God has given each of us unique gifts that when we bring them together to the body, we become a supernatural force to go and to build more and better disciples. Church, we have an assignment, Not to just say we've got a beautiful mission statement, but to walk it out, to live it out. And I believe we can accomplish 10,000 steps closer to Christ in 2 years. Now think about how that just impacts things globally. Think about how different your marriage will be in 2 years if you've taken 20 steps closer to Christ. Think about how the peace would be residing in your family if you've taken 50 steps closer to Christ in the next 2 years. Think about how much more freedom you would find if you took one step closer to Christ this week. Church, there is so much impact that happens to our community, to our workplaces, to our schools, to our homes, to our teams, to every place God would walk us through to know this next step is going to make an impact. It's going to start in here, and it's going to flow out everywhere. It's going to flow out everywhere. Number three is big. Number three makes me cringe a little bit because I'm a little nervous about this one. So the last couple of years, we've taken kind of an impact on Sunday morning. So if you haven't been here very long, you haven't been at Crossroads, we've kind of taken this approach, this idea of like, what's it really look like to love every single human the way that Jesus loved every human? What's it look like to have the compassion that Jesus had for people? If you read through passages like Luke chapter 15 gives us three parables that Jesus talked. There's a parable of a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one of them got away. So the shepherd leaves 99 to go and to seek and chase after the one. Then later in Luke 15, he tells a parable of a woman who had 10 valuable coins. And she loses one of the coins in her house. So she flips her house upside down to seek and find the one missing coin. And then the third parable, he speaks of a family. And one of the sons decides he wants to leave the family, takes all that he thinks he's belonged to him, and he goes far away, only to be received back home at the bottom of the barrel with nothing left to his name, and yet is welcomed back home. One that was lost and maybe had no clue that they were lost. One that was lost because someone didn't value them with the great value that they had, and maybe mistreated them because of that. And one who was just stubborn and didn't care and wanted to do his own thing. And the result in all three parables was welcome home. You are welcome here. Celebration, excitement, joy that filled the room. People so excited to see the sheep that was lost return to the flock. The coin that was lost return to the fold. And the son who had wandered far from God welcomed back home. God has placed you right where you are with an incredibly special purpose. I believe that God does not subscribe to coincidence or happenstance, that God opens doors and closes doors, that God puts you in a place where you can specifically build a connection with someone that might listen to your faith story of Jesus. I believe that we, Crossroads Community Church, can share the gospel with 10,000 people in the next 5 years. Yeah, it makes me nervous too. 10,000 people. Listen, it's not really about the number to me. It's about the urgency. It's about the target. It's about the fact that there are people in our world, people that we intersect with on a daily basis who don't know Jesus, and if they were to die today, would go to hell. And we can't be okay with that. We each have a one. Maybe somebody who doesn't know that they're lost. Maybe someone that's been devalued and lost on purpose. Maybe someone who's wandered away out of their own stubbornness. The truth of the matter is you probably don't just have a one or one. You probably have a few. Maybe you got a one you work with, someone who's far from God. Maybe you've got a one in your family, someone who's been stubborn in their own way. Maybe you've got a one who's been mistreated by the church and you keep intersecting with. Maybe it's a coworker, a neighbor. Maybe it's the person who cuts your hair. Maybe it's the person you're sitting often next to in your kids' ball games. Can I just tell you, Christ follower, we each have a call to evangelism. God doesn't do random. He placed you where he placed you to be the light in a dark world. He placed you where he placed you with the gifts and the skills for the season that you are in, that you may build a connection, a relationship, that someone might trust you enough to hear, what is it that's so different about you? Let me tell you why. One reason, Jesus gave his life for me. And through him, I found grace. And through him, I found hope. And through him, I found healing. And through him, I found new life. And through him, I found purpose. And through him, I found love. And through him, I found forgiveness so that I can forgive. And through him, I found every good thing about me. And it's changed my life. And it's transformed my life. And if I could just tell you, he'd like to do the same for you. One might hear the truth. One might hear the hope. One might hear the gospel. There are 70,000 people within 25 minutes of a Crossroads campus who don't know Jesus. 70,000 is a lot, we'll get there. But what if we started with 10,000? What if in 5 years, 10,000 people's eternity was changed because Crossroads got mobilized to go in to share our faith? The results are not on us. Our job is not to be the convert. Our job, we cannot change someone's heart. All we can do, Jesus says, is to be fishers of men. Come with me, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for men. He's already put you in the pond. We just got to be obedient to throw the bait. What if Crossroads? What if everyone who called Crossroads home? What if every one of us shared our faith with a one, with a couple ones? 10,000 families changed. 10,000 makes an impact in our community, in our workplace. 10,000 eternities forever modified, redirected to the kingdom. Think of how that impacts our community. Think of how that impacts our schools. Think of how that impacts marriage in this place. Think about how it impacts families around here. Think of how it impacts everything about our lives over the next 5 years. And eternities forever changed. If we believe what this book says, that God is love and God is just and God is holy, and there are people that we intersect with every single day who are on path, on target to go to hell for eternity. If someone you cared about was out in the parking lot tonight and you saw a car speeding down through the somewhat slick pavement about to hit and intersect with them, and you cared about that person at all, you would scream, you would yell, you would throw things, you would do anything you could to get their attention. And yet so many Christians are content just to sit on the sideline and say, I'm sorry for you. Church, if we really believe who Jesus is and we really believe the truths promised in this scripture and we knew that someone was about to get ran over by a car, we would put ourselves in harm's way. We would do anything we could, short of sin, that we might let them know there's a truck coming and it's gonna kill you. And God gave us his spirit that we don't do this in the blind, that we don't do this out of luck, that we don't do this by happenstance, that we invest and we invite them into a relationship with Jesus, that we invest that they might hear us and know the love we have for them and know the kindness we have for them, that we might invest our time and invest our attention in someone who needs to know Christ, that when the opportunity arises, what's different about you? Why do you keep showing up at church? Why do you keep doing that stuff about giving your money away? Why do you keep getting up early and serving on a Sunday? Because I know the Savior. And I was that guy standing in the parking lot with a car coming right at me. And someone yelled and got my attention, and I stepped out of the way and I met Jesus, and nothing has ever been the same for me. We invest and we invite in our ones. We don't just invite them to church, but we can invite them to church. But we invite them to coffee, and we invite them to conversation, and we invite them over for a cookout, and we invite them into a relationship, and we care about people. We don't just go through the motions with people, but we care about people like that's our assignment, like their life depends on it, because it does. 10,000 people in 5 years. That's a lot. For any of these to happen, two things have to happen. Number one, God has to show up. If God doesn't show up, we all just wasting time. If God doesn't move, if God doesn't reach down and bless this, if God doesn't send Jesus down with his anointing and the Holy Spirit's power and instruction and wisdom behind it, this is just all fun and games and disappointment. But if God moves, if God's behind this, and I don't know, maybe I'm just making an assumption, but I feel like he got a jump start on this morning. People are already coming to know who Jesus is. And if God shows up and he gives us a clear vision, we take an urgency and we take an approach where we just press on. And the second thing, if you and I, we catch this and we see it and we see what our community could look like and we see what our workplaces can look like and we see what our homes can look like and we see what our kids' schools could look like and we see what God can do in a community, man, you ain't gonna stop us. We are gonna go, we're gonna serve, we're gonna love just like Jesus. This is my offer to you. Not to get stuck in the details and the numbers, not to get caught up in all the other stuff to the side. I'm just gonna ask you, would you be willing to be part of the 10K life? The 10,000 life, the 10K life. Would you be willing to pursue intentional acts of kindness all year long? Would you be willing to take steps of faith to grow closer to God and more effective in the purposes where he planted you here? And would you be willing, whether that's a stretch, whether that's a class, whether that's a study, whether that's a whole lot of prayer, would you be willing to stretch your hand, to lift your voice, to share the life-changing, devil-defeating, freedom-providing, eternity-securing, good news gospel of Jesus Christ with 10,000 people right here in our community? Let's pray, because we need God for all of this. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your strength. God, tonight specifically, I thank you for your clarity. God, I thank you that when we just go through the motions sometimes and you don't get impatient with us, you just paint the picture of what you believe the preferred future is. God, I know there are people in our community, people in our workplaces, in our schools, people that we sit on the bench with and watch the games with, people that we're going to sit in class with tomorrow, people that need to know the hope that is found only in you. And God, you strategically gifted us and planted us right where you want us. God, you have given us something to chase. And as we chase after Jesus, as we become more like him, let it be evident in all that we do and all that we say. And all that we are, and in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name.